I think it's starting. Okay. Hi, Glenn. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us and the Reddit community. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. I'm sure you have a million other things you would rather do than talk to me, but
No, not at
I
all.
appreciate
And listen, Davidson, thanks for doing this. I think, it's a big part of what we do is giving back to the community and showing other folks what we're doing and sharing stuff. And I certainly appreciate your taking the time to do this for me and other folks that are going to listen in.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine. I know we got a chance to connect the other day, and it was really interesting, some of the topics that we talked about. So let's go through your background a little bit more. Can you tell us, sort of how you got into this industry and kind of the beginning origin stories of your company?
Sure. I years ago was going to be a software kind of person. I did that for a little while. I ended up in insurance software just because I was looking for a job in software, and there was a job at a company that did insurance software. So I ended up there, and that's what led me into the insurance industry. Most of my initial career path was on the technology side or on technical stuff. I've got a fairly technical background in insurance and stuff. One time I was writing actuarial exams. And I actually, back at the real early stages of the internet, I was working in a technical role at an insurance company, presented to the VP of sales a little kind of a little vignette that said, "We should be doing websites for life insurance brokers." Now, keep in mind, this is late 90s. And this was an insurance company. So that just got, I don't know if they threw it right in the garbage or if they burned it before they threw it in the garbage. But either way, didn't pay any attention to it. So I actually quit the company and started doing websites for insurance agents. And I did that for quite a few years. And I just, at a certain point, I just evaluated it and said, "Look, I know a lot about insurance. I know a lot about the internet, how to market on it, how to generate leads. I have all the pieces of the puzzle except for the direct sales piece. I didn't have any sales experience, but I just saw an opportunity." So about 10 years ago or so, I actually transitioned from doing software services for other insurance brokers to I've created our own virtual insurance and distributed life insurance agency. And now I manage the agency and sell insurance directly. So I've transitioned my career away from software, and now we just use software to actively sell life insurance.
Wow. So you definitely have an entrepreneurial mindset. It definitely sounds like, that's always, I guess, within your DNA, I guess you
Yes,
would
very
say.
much so. Very much so. And this is a good industry, and it's a good time. Things are really good on the internet, and industry's changing. So there is a lot of different opportunities out there for people that are ready to kind of try different stuff and use technology and new processes and the internet and all that sort of stuff to actually do financial sales.
So, talk to you a little bit more about that. Obviously, you have a pretty technical background. Do you? It sounds like, are you one of the early or one of the first robo advisor for insurance companies? Because I noticed that some of them. I see one that's for real estate. I see one that's. So I'm not sure. How big the market is for just insurance.
Well, for life insurance, it's huge, which is the arena that I work in. I don't work in property and casualty or house or car insurance. Those are also very big markets on the internet. We just work in life insurance, which actually from the consumer side isn't quite there yet. There's still a lot of consumers still doing it like it's 1960, just the belly-to-belly sales. That's still very much going on. In fact, I'm always shocked at how little internet transactions are involved in the sale of life insurance even today. But what we basically do is, first of all, we're not global. And we're not global because life insurance in most jurisdictions is licensed and regulated in that jurisdiction. So we're licensed in most provinces of Canada, but we don't sell life insurance in the United States. To do so, we'd have to go through the 50 states licensing and stuff like that. And basically, the way our operation works is, I have a number of agents that work for us. They're all distributed. We have a central database, a CRM, which, if you're not familiar with that, is it's a customer, basically a customer database. So we drive traffic to our website. Consumers transition to a lead. They put in their name and phone number, basically, in our website. That goes to our database. It's farmed out to the various agents that work with us. And the agents pick up the phone, call the client or the prospect, and sell them life insurance. So the back end of it, the sales side of it, has changed a little bit. We do everything non-face-to-face. So we don't go see clients. They don't come to our office. I just find that a complete waste of time and money. And that hasn't changed. We have a script that we use, a phone script that we use with our clients that works very well. But the front end, the actual lead generation, is all very much technology driven.
Yeah, so that sounds like that's a huge differentiator. I completely agree with you. You know, even in New York City, I noticed that the insurance industry is a little bit behind. You know, I know there's a lot of new companies like Lemonade that is getting a lot of funding, and there's some companies that are slowly popping up, but it does seem to be behind compared to some of the other industries in terms of just the technology and how it's like, you know, nowadays, like I still get 100 phone calls from life insurance agents, like trying to sell me life insurance, like face to face. And so it does seem like that's still where the majority of people still do that. At least in New York City.
It is, for some reason, a lot of consumers, and again, this is changing. As the millennials get older, the last thing they want is a life insurance agent coming over to see them. It's the last thing they want. But that's still,
right.
And as much as the insurance industry would like that to be 100% of people, today, consumers are still dictating 2/3 or 3/4 of the population still want somebody they can trust. And when they use the words trust, they mean somebody to sit in the kitchen table and use old school sales techniques. So, well, that's what they mean when they say trust. They mean they don't trust me because I'm just some voice on the phone. Doesn't matter what I say. They want to meet belly to belly. But consumers are changing. And curiously, the consumers that have changed that say, I don't want to meet with an insurance advisor. It's not necessary. It's a financial transaction.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, I find it's not limited to any particular section of consumers or market. It is everybody. It is 25-year-olds. It's 35-year-olds. It's 45-year-olds. It's 55. It's 75-year-olds. We sell insurance. I believe our client base looks very much like a typical cross-section of the insurance buying public. We have a lot of little cases, a lot of mums and pops, but we also have the odd, you know, jumbo case that comes in from people where they're wealthy or affluent, and they've got a team of advisors, and they're just looking for insurance, and they don't need to see the local guy. They just want to buy it off the internet too. So that's very curious to me, is that it's everybody. It's not just, you know, 30-year-olds that are buying insurance on the internet. It's everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned it, and obviously it's heavily regulated. So do you have plans to eventually expand to other markets, or are you, obviously there's a huge potential just in Canada alone, but do you see yourself expanding to other markets as well?
Outside of Canada, probably not. Personally, there's, again, just even in Canada, I don't have a whole lot of competition, and it's one of the decisions I made when I stopped offering software services was where most of my clients were actually in the U.S., I withdrew back into Canada, because for me in Canada, it's light on the competition. And I'm not suggesting anybody come to Canada, but it's light on the competition. And again, the market's growing. So as much as I'm not the only one doing it, I do know most of the people that are doing similar things to what I do. It's a small enough community. And it's a big enough pie and the pie's growing, that nobody's going hungry here.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I don't need to expand. I can continue mining what we've got and still grow within the confines of just staying in Canada. And I think certainly that's true in Canada and the U.S. as well.
And can you tell me a little bit more about your company? Like, you know, how big is it? Like, how do you go about finding talent? You know, how do you go about managing people? I mean, that's a lot I just threw at you.
Sure. So we're a smaller agency. I still do direct sales myself. It's my company with my wife. My wife does all of our admin work, and also does all of our phone support and all that sort of stuff. And so we have everybody that works here works from home. Many years ago, I just decided putting on pants in the morning and going to work was a complete waste of a clean pair of pants and my time. So we went completely virtual, completely distributed. So there's myself. My wife is the receptionist and, as I said, does all the admin work and a lot of the customer service. So any of our customers that call looking for banking changes or beneficiary changes or insurance paperwork, my spouse handles most of that. We have another part-time admin assistant as well. Again, she's not local to us. She's virtual. Okay. She has a computer and a phone on our VoIP phone system. That's all I need for an office.
Yeah.
She works from home. And then we have, depending upon the time of year, two or three sales reps. And again, scattered about Canada. They just have a phone and a computer. And they log into our database, again, where we assign them the leads. So it's great. A consumer goes to our website, puts in their name and phone number. The website determines where the agent is licensed, where the consumer is, and assigns that lead to a specific agent through kind of a round robin system. And we inject that lead, the name and the phone number, into our database for the agent to pick up. We basically put it in their calendar for a phone call. And then because timing is so important with this stuff, it's I can't emphasize enough how important it is to call people on the internet as soon as you get that lead in, like 5 minutes later is too late. We actually started sending our agents a text message on their phone. So if you go to our website, put in your name and phone number, hit enter, within a minute, one of my agents is getting a ping on their phone saying, please call Davidson in New York City and here's the phone number and sell them some life insurance.
Yeah, so that is, I definitely find that to be true, even with like any sales company I've worked for in software sales, I find that to be the case as well. You know, they can fill out a form that literally says, please contact me now, which is an amazing lead. And if we're even, you know, we take lunch and we come back, the likelihood of them actually returning our phone call is so slim compared to, I just call them right away as soon as I get that.
Well, there's a myriad of reasons for this, Davidson. It's, and like some of them are, like if they're sitting down at the computer and they're Googling and they're looking to buy life insurance and it's on their mind, and then they fill out a form, they're doing one of two things once they filled out the form, if they're not speaking to you on the phone. One is they're going to your competitor's website next and filling out a form there, which is the last thing you want. Or you know what?
Exactly.
They're up from the computer and tucking the kids into bed or making dinner or whatever. They're not doing life insurance anymore and they're not focused on it, so it's much more difficult to reach them at that point. The best example I've seen of this is last year we decided to sell our home, and I was doing exactly what our clients do. I was on the internet looking for a realtor or a real estate agent, and I was on a website I was interested in. I filled out a form with my name and phone number. And it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm hitting enter, and the form wasn't working, so I hit enter a couple of times. And I went, well, I guess I'll go look at the next one then. And I'm just about to go to the next website, and my phone rang, and it was the realtor. And we ended up doing business with him. And he caught me before I went to the competition. So they made the sale because they called me. If they hadn't called me, I'd have been on to the next guy.
Definitely, like you said, and especially in real estate and in insurance, it's even more competitive. So that's a good point.
Yes.
So I definitely wanted to ask you more about people that want to get into the life insurance business. You know, obviously it's an industry that's been around for so long, and you know, there's, you know, from what I hear, it can be potentially very lucrative.
Well, it is. I think it's like a lot of things. I've heard that you guys in software sales make more money than us in life insurance, but I don't know. You got nicer cars. But that being said, it is a good market. I like the career path because it allows me to be independent. I don't have to get up in the morning. I'm not responsible to anybody. And I know when you see ads and stuff, they're always talking about unlimited earning potential. But it really, you're going to earn as much as you're willing to and able to make. Depending upon how hard you work and how successful you are in what you do, you can make a very good living selling life insurance. It's still a product that people need. It's insurance. Yeah, no, there's very good money in it. And because it's difficult to sell for a lot of people, the commission structure is still pretty good.
Okay.
Absolutely. You can make a decent income, put food on the table and put your kids through college by selling life insurance. But this is kind of the background I give to somebody, because I do get approached by prospective agents on the internet as to, I want to do what you do. How do I do it?
Yeah.
And there's a few things. The sales process is, I mean, you can learn that in a lot of different places. And I'm good at it, but I'm not necessarily an expert on it. But one of the things that grinds entry-level life insurance agents, and I think this is really the most important part of the process, it allows you to be your career to be much more forgiving, is you need a machine to generate leads.
Yeah.
So if you're just getting into the industry, there's a variety of different ways that mentors will show you how to generate leads. But in the end, they really boil down to, this will just get you started, but in 2 years, you're going to be cooked, because whatever the method they're showing you will not continue to generate leads exhaustively. And then at that point, you're going to wake up one day and you're not going to have anybody to talk to. And then you're going to just continue to do that until you're out of money. Then you're going to be another one of the statistics of people who didn't make it selling life insurance. But if you've got a steady, and this is how I learned to sell life insurance, I had enough leads coming off of my website that even though I didn't know anything about sales, I did was pick up the phone and I called people, and I actually called 30 people a day for a month, and I never made a sale. But what I did was I fine-tuned my sales process, my script that I've said to everybody, until that works better. Not that it was working better in terms of making any sales, but I was getting smoother. And I did that for a month, and then I made one more tweak to my script, and I made my first sale as a result of that tweak.
Hmm.
And within 3 months, I was top five at my wholesaler. Went boom. So just by tweaking. But I couldn't have done that if I didn't have my leads coming in every day, if I was focused on speaking to somebody else. So importantly, if you're going to get into this market, sit down and decide very early on, what are you going to use in the way of a machine every day, today, tomorrow, 10 years from now? Where are you getting that two names from, or the five names? You need people to call. And if you've got people to call, then even if you don't know how to sell, you've got time to learn, because if you're getting five people a day, you call those five people, and if you don't sell, you screwed up, but maybe you learned a little bit more, like I did. And then the next day you call the five, and the next day you call the five. And most people, I think, in sales would agree that a big part of this is you just get that one person, if you call enough people, that says, I don't care how bad you are, I'm going to make you sit still long enough to sell me something. And that, right? I mean, that's just, you just find those people, and then all of a sudden you've got the confidence, and away you go. But again, you've got to have the machine to generate a certain number of leads every single day so that you have time to learn how to actually sell. And again, that prevents you 2 years from now from waking up one day and saying, I don't have anything to do. I don't have anybody to call because my lead generation machine tapped out all my sources. So we use the internet for that. That's ours. It's not the only way. I've spoken to people, as foreign as this is to me, I just find this tasty. I find it interesting. I think direct mail might still work in some places.
Hmm.
And direct mail is like the internet. It's repeatable, it's testable, and it's virtually unlimited. So we don't use direct mail, but I could see how somebody could, and I know people do, use direct mail to sell life insurance. But you've got to know how to do direct mail, and I know how to do the internet, not direct mail.
It's interesting because, you know, obviously your industry is a lot different than the type of product that I'm selling, and it's at the same time, all software sales is extremely similar in the sense that if you don't have a good website that has a decent SEO, or, you know, you're able to get visibility, you know, there's, you know, a lot of startups, software companies will go out of business because of that. You know, I think you bring up a good point where technology really, really is changing a lot of things. Like, you know, in the past, like, you could have done, you know, 30 phone calls a day, and that would have been just enough, or that could have been enough. But nowadays, you can't rely on just cold calls, right? Because, you know, technology is just such a huge part of how people do research. And like you said, they might be checking out a competitor's website, and you know, having a good website is so crucial to any type of sales.
It absolutely is. Now, the one thing I always kind of try to return to my roots. I read a lot of these marketing books back in the 1970s and early 80s on how to market life insurance in the old days. And I should go back and read them again because they're hilarious. But they're I'm just going to go on a quick tangent, Davidson. I want to tell you this because I still find this funny. In the old days, before the internet, what they used to do, and it depends on how old you are, whether or not you're going to remember this. This is how you'd sell life insurance. So this was the machine people used that you can't do today because of do not call lists and things like that. But what they used to do is you'd get the newspaper every day and you go to the birth announcements because people that have just had babies love to buy life insurance.
Wow.
So you would look them up. You do a cross-reference, find the person, get the name.
Wow.
Bob and Linda Smith, go to the phone book, look up their address at Bob and Linda Smith, get their zip code, and then you would send them what's called a pre-approach letter that would say, hi, Davidson. I see you've got little Davidson there. Congratulations. You're probably thinking about some life insurance, so I'll give you a call next week to introduce myself. And then you call them next week and say, hi, it's Davidson from ISellYouLifeInsurance.com or whatever it is, and away you go. So that was a machine. Can't do that anymore just because of the do not call lists, which has gotten rid of a lot of cold calling stuff. So, I always find that interesting. Today, when it comes to websites, my point was, I like to return to my roots when it comes to marketing, because I don't think, just the more I see about stuff, people talking about marketing on the internet, a lot of it tastes like the stuff I read back in the 80s. Okay. It's not, it's all big and new. No, it's not. It's really not. The principles haven't changed. So it's pretty obvious. I mean, you got to have a nice looking website, but I always liken the website. So, and you need traffic. You need to drive people through to your website. So there's kind of two components. You need traffic and then you need a good website, but people should go look at my website, which is lifeinsurancecanada.com. I get emails once or twice a year from web designers, honest to good ones, not spam, actual web designers offering to help me fix my piece of crap website because it looks so ugly and they want to throw up, okay? I don't sell life insurance to web designers specifically, so I don't care if I have a pretty looking website. It's right. Completely incidental. My website is designed to convert. So if you're doing a sale, the website sale in life insurance certainly would be to generate a lead. That's the close. You give me your name, and you visit my website, you give me your name and phone number, I've closed you. Every life insurance agent worth their salt knows, and again, this goes back to the 70s and probably earlier, that if you don't ask for the sale, you'll sit at the kitchen table for the whole weekend looking at each other and drinking coffee, but the consumer will never say, sure, please sign me up. You have to stop and ask for the sale, right? Everybody knows this. You got to ask for the sale. If you don't ask for the sale, you will not make the sale. It's absolutely true on your website. It's vital. And the sale here is, it's the top of the funnel, converting general traffic into a lead. So you have to ask for the lead. So if you're not front and foremost, if you don't look visually at your website, and the most important thing on the webpage is not give me your name and phone number, your website's not doing what it's supposed to do. I don't care how pretty it is. So now, that being said, despite my lack of accolades from the web design community, I get repeated compliments from consumers about how helpful and informative my website is, which is what I care about. And of course it generates a lot of leads. So if you're getting new into this and you're setting up a website, I personally wouldn't use, as much as I like supporting my local business, you don't need a pretty looking website. Pretty looking website doesn't pay the bills. A converting website pays the bills. And generally speaking, the local web designer people, even the expensive ones, are not experts at conversions. You need to be doing a website in the financial industry, big or small, on a website that converts. And in the life insurance industry, that conversion is converting traffic into leads. If it's not kicking out names and phone numbers, You're wasting your money. And that's all that matters. So there's a variety of different ways you can do that. But that's certainly on our website. The in addition to bringing the traffic in, which our website does well as well, it also converts very, very well because I ask all over the place, hey, buddy, give me your name and phone number. So if you're, again, if you're getting new into this and you decide, hey, I'm going to sit at home in my underwear and sell life insurance on the phone because I'm going to get all these leads off my website, you make sure you have a high converting website. It's most important. You got to ask for the name and phone number. And again, if you look at my website, it looks pretty enough, but there's no pictures on there. And the primary feature of the website right at the top is, hey, buddy, give me your name and phone number.
Wow. So, man, that's so true. Like, I mean, this podcast episode will be good for anyone that has a small business, you know, has either they have their own business or they're consulting on the side or, I mean, anywhere where, so it's interesting because, I'm actually a life coach also on the side and I'm pretty new at it. And, you know, obviously with a business like coaching, it's all referral based, right? So having a good website is crucial, you know, in an industry where, you know, 100% of your business depends on referrals, like similar to life insurance.
Absolutely. Yes.
So my team and I, you know, we're all talking about like, oh, like what should we put on our website and all that. And it's funny. It's literally all you need is a good landing page and just somewhere where you're collecting names, phone numbers, and, you know, just a bare, essentials. We don't really need it to be all shiny and pretty and perfect and all that.
That can even be distracting.
So interesting.
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, just for the folks that are out there, I'm just going to drop a couple websites on you that might, at least for the life insurance industry, might be a bit of a hand up. Okay. So these are a couple of guys that I know that are in the website design industry for life insurance agents. So this is exclusively life insurance agents. And these are people that I've known through the years that do kind of what I do, but they design websites. So the first one, if people around in the industry, these names will not be unknown. These aren't like just random people that I know. These are people out there that are doing it. The first one is a fellow by the name of Jeff Root. His website is wplifeinsurance.com. So WP stands for WordPress, which is a fairly common database. Now, I don't use either one of these two people. We do our own thing, which I can describe if you like, but this is for beginners. This is where you should start. This is not your local guy that knows how to build a pretty website but doesn't convert. These people know how to convert. May or may not be pretty. Doesn't matter. So wplifeinsurance.com. And I actually called Jeff today and said, hey, I want to mention your name because I think you're a valuable resource. And he said, if you jump on before September 23rd, and sign up for his websites and use the code 200 off, you'll take $200 off.
Great. Okay.
So WP Life Insurance, that's one place to go looking for life insurance websites for beginners. And the second one is a fellow by the name of Chris Huntley. Again, if you've kind of dabbled in this in the past, you'll know this name. His website is 50 leads per month, 50 leads per month. And Chris, I believe, is more on the SEO side.
Gotcha.
Now, just again, tangentially, here's one of the big things that I see new life insurance agents screwing up. And I'm going to describe this through a little bit of a story. So back when I was doing software, again, 10, 15 years ago, and WordPress was actually around, I offered something very similar to this 50 leads per month to all my insurance agent clients. I said, for $500, I will give you a website and an ebook that shows you how to generate leads. And I know how to do it. And I put it out there for $500. And out of the hundreds of insurance clients that are insurance agents that I was doing business with, five of them took me up on it. Everybody wanted it, but only five people paid the money. And out of those five, I set up the websites for these five people, took my $500. Four of them did nothing. This is the difference here. Four of them did nothing. One of them is Chris Huntley, who owns 50 leads per month. And he's a very successful online insurance marketer in his own right. I think he's out of California or something. He's down in the U.S. Very, very successful. Been interviewed in pretty much every national media that's out there. Sells a ton of life insurance and also does websites in SEO for insurance agents. And the difference between him and the other four people is he set up the website and actually did what was in the ebook. He didn't just let it drop. The other four agents didn't do anything. So there's an element of if you actually do it, it's not that hard. And it's still possible to do this, even today, successfully do some version of what I do, which is set up a website, drive leads to it. In fact, it's arguably easier today than it was when I started years ago. It's a little bit better defined. So now I don't use those two guys for my website. If you're kind of the next step up. So when I looked around and I said, okay, I don't want the cookie cutter stuff, the entry level stuff. I've got specific needs and I'm ready to go to the full on pro version. And my biggest concern was I don't want pretty. I want conversions. So who do I go to for conversions? And the answer for me was I went to what's called a super affiliate. Now on the internet, and this is a little bit old school, there's an industry called affiliates, and these are people that know how to set up websites and drive traffic to it, and then they make a commission. Yeah. They could be selling anything, right? Insurance leads or telephones or Comcast subscriptions, doesn't matter. They just sell stuff on the internet. So a super affiliate is a world-class affiliate, and I happen to know a number of them from just attending search engine conferences, and one of them, when I did my last website design, had just started doing website designs for other people in addition to their own stuff. And that's who I contracted. So my website, this isn't entry level stuff. It's much more expensive than that. But if you're more concerned about conversions than the dollar value, it's not a budget version. I used a lady by the name of Sugar Ray. I think her website is Pushfire, pushfire.com. She's a lady out of Texas.
Okay.
And she is a down-to-earth, hardcore, hardworking, super affiliate, knows how to sell stuff on the internet, knows how to convert. And that's what I got was I paid a few bucks, but I got a website that converts like crazy.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if you'd be willing to share, like, you know, how many leads are you getting in a day typically? I'm not sure if you want to.
It floats up and down. We're not where we used to be. And again, this is in Canada. So let me speak in numbers and more in the U.S. If you're on the front page in the U.S. for life insurance, hundreds and hundreds of leads a day. That's the kind of volume you get if you've got some really good rankings. Now, I mean, this is really showing you why. One of the reasons why a new agent shouldn't be trying to rank on term life insurance in Google. Mm-hmm. What's somebody who's new at learning? What are you going to do with 100 leads a day? It's overwhelming. You could never handle that. But you know, the big name brands that are out there on the front page of Google, if they're doing it right, are getting hundreds of leads a day. So I think I had a buddy of mine, and actually a website I used to own, rank on the bottom of the front page years ago.
Wow.
And it would do 100 leads a day. But the rough rule of thumb is every time you move up on the one spot on the front page, you roughly double your traffic.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, on the front page, there's hundreds to thousands, but that's more of a bite than it's certainly less than that in Canada because we've got a tenth of the population or something. There's more people in California than there is in the entire country of Canada. So my numbers would be more akin to somebody who's just in California population-wise. So
interesting.
Yeah. So sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask you, it sounds like you know a lot about SEO. Like, I guess, what are your thoughts on SEO and, you know, like how often is it changing? It sounds like it's something that you definitely have to stay on top of because it's up to Google's whim to really kind of change whatever
that
they feel like.
That is 100% the wrong approach to take. I do not stay current. I shouldn't say I never have. I've attended lots of SEO conferences. I've listened to it all. The last thing I have ever done is paid attention to what people are doing today. I've only ever paid attention to that stuff as an indication of where stuff's going. The problem is that if you're worrying about trends on Google, and so this is for search engine optimization, getting ranked in Google.
Right.
If you're trying to beat them at their own game, they've got 1,000 PhDs in California that are, every one of them smarter than me. I cannot outwit them. What they're trying to do is, I mean, ultimately, and speaking kind of generically here, they're trying to basically make their website look like a human brain, right? They're trying to say, if I had a human person looking at this, judging these websites, how would I rank them? Well, I already have a brain for the most part. So I just use my brain and say, okay, what makes sense in the way that Google would actually rank me? Now, everybody does know, and this is the basis, you need two things to rank. Now, this is, and I'm not even suggesting this is something for entry-level people, but this is my overall how I rank nationally. There's two things they're looking for. One is content, good content, not garbage content, not content you paid somebody $20 to write, expert-level content. And they're, how they judge that, don't worry about it. You can read for hours as to all the algorithms and stuff and what they're doing today. Doesn't matter. You are able to tell better than Google what good content is. So if you go to my website and start reading, I've got tons of articles where, and actually one of the earlier websites I mentioned, the 50 leads per month, Chris Huntley, I know a little bit of what he's doing, and that's one of the things he's emphasizing is good quality content. And almost nobody does this. Nobody likes to sit down and write, you know, 50 or 100 articles on life insurance. And I've done way more than that. It gets boring quick. But I do it, and I still get compliments on them. So you got to have good content. But it's not enough. Excuse me. Sorry. The second thing, again, this is very generic stuff, is links. Don't get fancy with the links. Don't get smart. All that matters is the people that link to you are people that have good quality websites that are relevant. So if you can get other top quality websites in your field to link to you, that works. And I wouldn't complicate it any more than that. Excuse me. And that's, in fact, I haven't complicated it any more than that. And frankly, in the 10 to 15 years I've been doing search engine optimization, that has held my websites in Google no problem. Like the first website I ever ranked many, many years ago still ranks reasonably well. Now it's fallen a little bit because over 15 years, a lot of those links have gone away and the guy that owns it now hasn't touched it. But do I read search engine optimization journals and forums and stuff all day long? Absolutely not. I know I need good quality content and I need authoritative links. So if I see the opportunity for a good link from somebody, I will ask. I'll reach out and say, give me a link, please. And I'll give them a reason why it's to their benefit to link to me, which is important. And I read good quality content. And Google figures it out. I don't try and outsmart Google. I give them what they want, and they figure it out. And I don't see that changing in the near future. Now, you'd mentioned that you wanted this, or we were kind of hoping that this would be more for folks just getting started out. So should these people be trying to rank on term life insurance? No. Too big of a job. You're not going to beat the people that have links out there from insurance companies and trade magazines and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to get on the internet and you've paid your money and you've got yourself a high converting website, how the heck do you bring in traffic? And everybody wants search engine optimization because they think it's free. I don't even think it's necessarily the best way to get started, but if you're going to get started today, and this is an example of where I think things have changed because this wasn't available when I started, I would be targeting Google Local. So this is like the three pack where if you're in Boca Raton, Florida, people in Boca Raton, Florida are going to search life insurance agents in Boca Raton. And Google's going to try and find, not me, not AccuQuote, they're going to try and find a local agent in Boca Raton. So you've got to send out all these signals. And you can beat, if you're a life insurance advisor in Boca Raton and somebody's searching for Boca Raton insurance agents, you can beat everybody just because of where you're located, as long as Google knows you're located there. So how do you find out? And now, and there's, you know what? And if you're in a decent sized metropolis, 250,000 people to 500,000 people, if you can rank on the Google local listing, so do you do what's called local search engine optimization. You're just targeting locally. 250 to 500,000 people, you're going to get 5 to 10 leads and a couple phone calls a week. It's a good start. It's a really good start. So next question, of course, is how do you do local SEO? And again, it's not overwhelming. A typical independent insurance agent can do this kind of stuff. So I would suggest, if this is where you're going, Davidson, if you were a new agent and you wanted, I would say, well, don't do the big stuff. Start at the local stuff. Learn how to do local search engine optimization. That stuff you can read online. It's It's fairly well laid out. Do this. You need your Google business listing. So you just got to find out how to do a Google business listing. So Google knows your name and address. Okay. Knows where you are. They're probably going to mail you a postcard. You then go back to Google. You put in your 4-digit number and you've confirmed your address. That's a good start. You get some links locally. The other thing, again, this isn't something that I've used personally because it's American-based and I'm in Canada. There's a service that will help you. It's not everything, but it's a good start. And again, they've got the confines set up. It's a service called Moz Local.
Oh, yeah, Moz.
Well, yeah, if you're familiar with search engine, I say the word Moz, everybody knows who Moz is. But if you're not familiar, this might be new to some people. So Moz is M-O, it's properly pronounced Z, but you folks might say Zed. So M-O-Z Local. If you Google that, Moz Local, they have a service. I don't know, half a dozen, $10 a month. And they will inject you into so many directories and stuff that are considered authoritative by Google. Then Google visits them. They confirm repeatedly across the internet that you are located in Boca Raton, Florida. So you get all, that's one way to give Google a signal that you're in Boca Raton. The Google business listing is another. There are other ways. You give Google lots of signals. I live in Boca Raton. I do business in Boca Raton. Get links from the local chamber of commerce, etc. And then when people type in life insurance agents in Boca Raton, up you come. They go to your website, and it's a high converting website, so they give you their name and phone number, and you call them and sell them some insurance. So that's local SEO is where I would start for most new agents or people looking to get into this kind of generating leads on the internet for themselves. The other thing that I think is really, if you go on the internet or read these magazines, the hot topic these days is social media. And I do a little bit of it, but I'm a bit of a skeptic, maybe just because I'm slow at technology or I don't know. I'm not at the forefront as much as it seems I'm at the forefront of implementation in terms of seeing what's out there. Let me give you an example. I was actually at a search engine conference. I spoke at one a number of years ago, 4 years ago or something. I spoke at an international search engine conference on how to build links. And I was in the speakers panel. So there's me, I sell life insurance, but everybody else there was a search engine optimization firm. They were from search engine companies. And they were talking about state of the marketplace. And one of the companies there said they sold social media services. But what they found was 90% of them did not renew their contract the second year because the results were crap. A lot of talk, a lot of interest. There's exceptions to that. But certainly in life insurance, social media, as hot as it sounds, if you're actually looking to generate leads to sell life insurance, my opinion is, with some exceptions, Reddit actually being one of them, difficult to sell through life insurance specifically on Facebook. And that's because, and this might be different than in your industry, I think social media works well if you can build a fence around your client. So I live in a small rural town. They do quilts here, you know, those little blanket things you put on your bed. A lot of that goes around here. It's an old rural community. So this lady here, she didn't have a website and she doesn't have a storefront, but she's got a whole business selling quilting supplies. And all she does is social media, because all of her people are always on social media talking about how to make the latest bedspread. Right. So she can sell them repeatedly. People don't do that for life insurance. They think nothing of it. And then one day they wake up, decide to buy life insurance, and then they buy it, and then they never want to talk about it again. So it's not like everybody's coming to my Facebook page to like me and it's the latest, greatest thing on life insurance today. So I think that's where you need to evaluate what business you're in to see if social media fits. I think it fits very well for some businesses and not very well for others. But the one thing that's, I guess, a bit surprising to me that's completely overlooked by almost everybody is AdWords. So this is on, you know, you can advertise on Google. And in fact, I think Google AdWords is, it's something like 90 to 95% of Google's revenue. That's where Google makes their money, selling advertising, right? Not all this other car driving stuff nonsense that they're into. They sell advertising on their search results. That's how they make 95% of their income or something like that number. Because people are using it and clicking on it. So the nice thing about advertising on Google is it's immediate. So it's not like search engine optimization, which might take 3 to 6 months or longer to get up and going. It's immediate. You can have ads running tomorrow. It's completely controllable. So you can up your budget, decide where you're, or decrease your budget, turn it off when you're going on vacation. You can, whatever you want. It's completely flexible. As long as you can make it work with it, you know, if you can spend a dollar and make two, which takes some work. But it is certainly possible, even in life insurance today. In fact, some companies, some insurance agencies, do 100% of their business off of Google AdWords for that very reason. It's a very controllable thing. They're not like me, who depends on Google search rankings. So I wouldn't discount that. There's a large learning curve to get there, but it is possible. So, Davidson, let me drop another website on you. If somebody's listening and thinking, I want to learn how to do AdWords, The website I find is very informative on this stuff is a website. It's called certifiedknowledge.org. Certifiedknowledge.org. Guy by the name of Brad Geddes owns it. I've seen him speak on pay-per-click advertising through the years. Excellent, excellent. Huge resource. As much as I know about AdWords, every time I run an AdWords campaign, I go to that website and refresh my knowledge.
Wow. Yeah, this is all very helpful. It's very useful because there's a large percentage of the Reddit sales community that have their own small business. I think there are some guys that are in SEO or in website design and some of these businesses. So
let me explain why AdWords, as much as I don't use it now, I keep it in my back pocket. And I've run large pay-per-click campaigns in the insurance industry in years past. Google, and this is one of the reasons Google's successful, and I'm gonna simplify this quite a little bit. Some of the stuff isn't technically true, but it's practically still the case. So Google doesn't just say, click on my ad, pay me $5. What they do is they very roughly look at two things. They look at how much you've agreed to pay, and they look at the quality of your ad. And there's a whole bunch of technical ways they judge that changes through time. But that's basically what they're saying. I'm going to pay $5 every time you click on it. They're going to say, okay, you're going to give me $5. But, and what's the quality of your ad? Which means, and they hold, roughly speaking, I think, equivalent weight. So this is not technically true, but it's practically true. So if Davidson goes to Google and says, I'll give you $5, and I've got a really good ad that performs twice as well as anybody else, and Glenn comes along and says, Google, my ad sucks, and I'm going to pay you $10. They're going to treat you and me equally, even though you're paying half my price. Because they care so much about quality ads. This is why you don't get Britney Spears ads all over the place, because they don't perform. So they get discounted, and you have to pay too much money. Therefore, this is the key to AdWords. If you have a strong performing ad, you can run advertising at a much cheaper cost than your competitors. Now, in years past, and this is not the case anymore, you can't do this anymore, rates have gone up, but I was running ads paying about $1 per click, and I know my competitors were paying $10 a click because my ads were doing 10 times better than theirs, so Google placed us on an equal footing. So I would sit there and just drain their budget. I would open up my budget and I'd say, sure, spend $500 a day, because those guys are going to have to spend $5,000 a day, right? Because they're paying 10 times what I have to pay because their ads are horrible. So the key to AdWords is realize it's not about the money. You want to pay the lowest price you can. How do you do that? You get a top performing ad, which now begs the question, how do you get a top performing ad? And the answer is, here's the secret. If there is any secret about how to do a performing ad, is you don't know how to do a top. There's general guidelines. the way to tell if an ad is any good is to test it. You don't create a good performing ad. You write a whole bunch of really crappy ads and test them all until you find ones that perform a little bit better. So an example would be, and again, I'm speaking very generally at a very simple level here, but this would be the kind of thrust you would do if you're going to run AdWords. You're going to write a couple of ads that you don't know if they're good, they're bad, they're ugly, they're sideways, doesn't matter. You write two ads and you run them side by side simultaneously and wait a little while. And you're not going to get a whole bunch of leads or maybe none. And they're both going to crash. Maybe one crashes spectacularly and one just does poorly. But you've now learned something. You know what's garbage and you know what does poorly. So you take the poorly one and you recreate, this is called A-B testing. And you create a second version with something else that changed. Good, bad, you don't know if it's how it's going to do, you're just going to change it. And then you throw the two of them up and now you learn something. Which one of those two does better? One of them will do better. Get rid of the poor performing one, look at the better performing one, try a tweak. And it could take 2, 3, 4 months to get a decent, stable campaign up through a series of your websites, your advertising, expect it to crash. They always crash. But that's the learning process. You got to go through a lot of mud before you find the pearls, I guess. So you test, and eventually you will find some very neat little niches and you'll write some good ads just randomly. And now all of a sudden you've got a stable business model again, where you've got ads that are fairly cheap for you to run on Google and doing very well, driving traffic to your website. So it's not about deepest pockets. It's about who writes the better ad. And he who writes the better ad wrote the better ad because they tested a whole bunch of really bad ads first to find the good ones. So that's certainly another option if you'd rather get on there quicker. And again, it's very controllable. It's good from a business model perspective. It's very good. It's controllable. It's repeatable. It's testable. You can manage it however you like. Set your budget up and so on.
So would you say the, this is similar to like the real estate industry and or would you say that's different? Like, are they running similar types of campaigns? And
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The little bit I've seen with the real estate agents out there, absolutely. And does this work? Absolutely it works. The second last time we sold our house, my real estate agent put up a website listing and proceeded to tell me how many hits I had. And I said, yeah, I had like 4 times that many when I ran local pay-per-click. Mm-hmm. I just said, here's the area that I'm in. And again, with Google AdWords, you can target geographically. You don't have to go the whole, country of the United States. You can just say, right, I want to be within 25 or 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers of Boca Raton or wherever you are. Only show my ads within this circle. So you can target geographically amongst a whole bunch of other targeting things you can do as well. And again, very, very useful for real estate agents. And you can use it successfully to drive traffic to whatever it is you want to do.
Wow. Yeah, this is very helpful, Glenn. I appreciate you, taking the time to give us all this insight. I think this will be very valuable for a lot of different industries, like not just real estate and life insurance.
Yes. Well, I hope so. Well, other than life insurance agents in Canada, I hope so. So, now, lots of pie out there. Like I said, there's enough pie for everybody to eat.
Yeah.
Nobody's going hungry out there. There's lots of business out there yet.
Have you ever, what about like websites like Angie's List or Yelp or TripAdvisor, all these websites? Do you find that, you kind of have to do a little bit of everything or?
I don't. So again, you're kind of getting into the social media stuff. I'm familiar with Angie's List and Yelp and this kind of stuff. In Canada, a counterpart to that would be a website called Kijiji, which is actually owned by eBay. It's a classified ads, kind of a Craigslist kind of thing. people yeah. advertise on that. It's for free. You can do that kind of stuff. As I said, in the life insurance, if I wasn't doing life insurance and I could build a fence around it, I might do that. But again, on there's some, just going to be some diminishing returns on whether or not your market is actually there. If they're not there and targeted because they're there, right? If they're not, if when it comes to this kind of social media and these other types of websites, if the consumer isn't there specifically looking for what you're doing, then all you're doing, you might as well be running a TV ad. Right? You're just advertising because there's a whole bunch of people in front of you, or advertising at the local pub. It's no difference. Right. Why would you advertise life insurance at the local pub? Why would you go on some place where nobody's, they're there for other reasons. Facebook, gotcha. The local pub, they're not going to look about life insurance. Now, again, so this is an example of where I do like Reddit is, so there's a couple of insurance related subreddits that consumers use that have my type of client. And they are kind of thinking about finances and life insurance while they're on Reddit. So I participate reasonably heavily in those subreddits. But the key there is because I've seen people do this, and this is, it's just all kinds of awkward when people do this. Never sell to the poster. Somebody comes on and says, well, you just don't do it. You just look like you're such, you just, it's,
yeah,
it's what it boils down to. Yeah. You know, gee, Davidson, I'm looking for what you sell. Who would you recommend? Don't pop up and say, well, you should buy my crap.
Right.
Okay. So what I do is, again, I inform, I educate, I do all that kind of stuff. I just answer their question. I'm not selling to the original poster. I'm selling to the 10,000 people reading that.
Right?
And, you know, I get phone calls off of Reddit to buy life insurance. Absolutely. It's not huge, but frankly, from my perspective, it's in terms of social media, it's the best performing thing that we do. And that's what I do is I just participate. I give people good, honest advice. I try not to be any sort of partisan, this company, that kind of stuff, or buy my stuff. I don't promote my stuff. Not everybody even seems to understand that I'm a life insurance agent, even though my username is Life Insurance Canada. They seem puzzled by that. Well, I don't know. What does that guy do? But I don't push it. I don't say, call me, buy my stuff. I just say, here's the answer to your question. Very professional. And I try and give them a really top quality answer. I write fairly long essays. And as I said, I don't think I've ever had an original poster call me at a thread I've participated in, but it's all the other people reading it. Those are the ones that that will pick up the phone and call you. Go, I've read your stuff repeatedly, really good stuff. I could tell you're an expert. And of course, anybody in sales knows being an expert is part of the process. They now know I'm an expert, and then they call and buy.
Yeah, this is good stuff, Glenn. I really appreciate it. I think there's a lot of takeaways. You know, no matter what type of sales you're doing, I think it's all relevant. You know, just being expert, being a thought leader, and you know, not necessarily like pitching your product, but people will come to you just because they know that you know you're the trusted advisor. You're giving good, valuable content out there, and then people know that you know what you're talking about. This is all very valuable.
Good.
Great. So, I just wanted to, you know, thank you for taking the time to educate the Reddit community. And, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time and really giving us a lot of, you know, pointers and a lot of things that I know for me, it's definitely going to help me out in terms of what to do for my website and you know, how to work with our marketing team in order to get better conversions and more leads. And, you know, I think sometimes they're focusing on the wrong things. And, you know, I definitely think we should coordinate a lot more, the sales and the marketing team. Sometimes it's like two totally different, you know, there's a lack of communication. So I think that's really important that we work for all this.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I can help. And again, Davidson, thanks so much for setting this up for me and for everybody else that's listening out there on the sales subreddit.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn. And if any of our listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Probably you can contact me through our website. If you go to lifeinsurancecanada.com, my contact information is there. I'm also on Reddit under my username is, again, not surprisingly, Life Insurance Canada.
Great. Thanks, son. I really appreciate the time.
It's good talking again, Davidson. Bye-bye.
Yeah, likewise. Okay, bye-bye.